Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary film following Dante Clark, a young poet in Richmond, California, a community that struggles with gun violence stemming from a turf war spanning across multiple generations. Dante co-founded an arts organization called Raw Talent, where like-minded youth from both sides of Richmond mounted an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, with the hope of starting a meaningful dialogue about violence in the city, as we learn from the film's homepage. At the very close of the adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, the nurse narrator asks, "But could there be another ending to this story? We know what you were expecting, a tragedy. The classic tale of star-crossed lovers who take their lives. The classic tale on Channel 5 News of Richmond youth, ugly as the scarred backs of our ancestors. Can you feel it? It's time to heal, time to reclaim the city of pride and purpose, our Richmond. We know you were expecting us to choose death, but tonight we choose life." While the players and the creative team leave us all agreeing that we choose life and hoping the audience will feel that message powerfully, still, through the nurse, the team asks us whether the story could end differently without young Romeo lying on the ground, as the title says, bleeding. We're left with questions, not answers. The producers want the audience to leave pondering how that will ever be possible, asking, what is our responsibility to make a new ending possible in our communities? For many years, the celebrated ensemble Rev Theater has come to Scranton from their home base in Philadelphia to work with a host of community members of all ages to introduce them to the joys and power of theater. And Shakespeare has been part of their work. Rosie Hay, co-founder and co-artistic director of Rev, trained at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts and worked as assistant director for Trevor Nunn at the Royal Shakespeare Company, for example. And when Rosie Hay and co-founder and co-artistic director Rudy Caparazzo open up a classic like Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet to young people, they help bring the real lives and experience of the students to the characters and the plays themselves. Always sensitive to and caring deeply about the young people they work with, Rev has been developing a project to deal with the gun violence that the students are surrounded by everywhere they turn. When Rev produces Romeo and Juliet, for example, surely they help students identify with the warring families and those fallen in the course of that or any Shakespeare plays they produce. But in the past 2 years, Rev has been working with young people in Scranton to produce a theater piece without what might be seen as the protective layer of poetry, Shakespeare's poetry. And they've created Soda Pop Can, an American high school story, to be presented this Friday and Saturday at the space at Olive in Scranton. We had a chance to speak by phone with Rosie Hay and Rudy Caparazzo about the project.
This piece is basically about gun violence in high schools in this country, which is unfortunately far too pervasive and a part of these kids' everyday lives. This is what they face on a regular basis, not just the obvious imminent or potential threat of it, but the precautions that are essential and indeed how that affects their psychological way of moving through the world.
And you have been working on this theme in this area previously.
Yes, we have. This piece is now a fully realized, essentially completely produced production of a piece that we worked on in a workshop situation at NEPA Youth Shelter with Maureen Mayer Gray back in March of 2022. So 2 years later, one of the guiding lights of the community in terms of having a very strong, committed, passionate, socially conscious voice in your community are the Myers, Sandra and Maureen Myers. They've become great friends of ours through experiencing our work initially, and out of that professional connection and mutual respect in that regard has formed a fast and strong friendship. So they, particularly Sandra, has been single-minded and single-handed in her effort, in the initial effort to bring this to the community. It is being supported in other ways, and we will get to those grantors, which of course we need to include. But she felt when she experienced the piece very strongly that it needed to reach a broader audience and have a louder voice here in Scranton.
And the way the piece was developed initially, you said it was workshopped. So did it come from the experience of the participants? Did they give oral testimony to what their experiences are and have been? How did it develop?
No, the piece, I wrote the piece. I created and wrote the piece, basically. And the piece, we brought in a great deal of source material because, tragically, actually, ultimately, and I use that word in the truest sense, there's far too much resource material to draw from because there's so many tapes and journals and books and films, often from not only the victims' perspectives, but from shooters' perspectives, too, in that way. So a lot of that was shared in that way, but it is not direct and definitive personal experience of these kids because the initial thought was, yes, to have this be a shared consortium of ideas based on feelings and personal experience. But that was changed because it simply seemed, because it is so real, so immediate, and so visceral, and not only in this community, but particularly in this community, that it would not be very wise to do it in a way that didn't involve some kind of therapeutic endeavor, some kind of psychological investment in the process, which that was not part of what we were doing. So the characters in this are fictionalized based on a composite of many individuals and their overall collective experiences, but not in a way that is directly related to anybody here in this community.
How did the piece come together as a story? Little individual narratives or through line?
It's three stories of three high school kids that could actually ultimately and obviously be anywhere in America. And there's a fourth character who plays a variety of other roles. So it is experiences based on in existing material of reality, but fictionalized. And the piece itself comes together in a cohesive way, in a way that is much more of a collage. It is a shared overall experience. The stories intertwine and they connect and intersect, but it's not a quote unquote well made play. It is not. I don't even call it a play. Many people do. I don't. I think of it as a theater piece.
And sometimes music can help in pulling separate pieces together. Is that one of the tools you use?
Oh, you know us so well. Yes, there's music in it used. There's also levity. I mean, it is obviously a very provocative, dark, and disturbing piece because the subject matter is such. It is not treated lightly in any way, shape, or form, nor should it really should be as far as I'm concerned. But there is music, and there is moments of humor, I think, I hope. And this is a weird thing, and you probably know this for yourself. The Boomtown Rats had a 1979 hit called I Don't Like Mondays, and the song is based on a young woman's experience. Her name was Brenda Spencer, and she, at that point in time, was the singular female perpetrator of these kinds of crimes. And when she was interviewed and asked why she sat in the living room window of her home across the street from an elementary school and shot at children, she said, I don't like Mondays, and this might liven things up. And the Boomtown Rats wrote a number one hit single from 1979 called I Don't Like Mondays. That song features, among others, in the piece.
Isn't that chilling? I thought it would liven things up, or might liven things up. She's still in prison because they just won't release her on parole because there seems to be no sense from her that she will accept what she did was bad.
And the great sea change in terms of public opinion and our understanding of this kind of stuff is that kind of thing would never have flown now, and, you know, nor should it. The families of those victims involved fought for years with the Boomtown Rats et al. to have that song taken out of circulation. They lost that case, and the song exists, but it's part of our piece in a way that does not, none of it celebrates murder in any way, shape, or form. So we have quite a different take in terms of the use of that song in this particular piece.
And Rosie, I'd ask you about the language and about how the characters are speaking. Is it natural? Maybe is it street talk? Is it...
Mm-hmm. No, it's not street talk. It's everyday vernacular, by and large. There are a couple of passages that would have what I would call heightened language. But it is language because some of this material is taken from journals or interviews. So it's the way that young people, teenagers, speak. But it's not, as we would say, street. It's something that we can all relate to. But Rudy hasn't brought this up quite yet. I'm sure that it could come up. But I'm going to say that he talked about it being a collage, which it is. And there is a thread that leads through, one could say very loosely, but there's nothing about that in the piece, before, during, after, and what happens. So there are lots of moments that are linked together through these three really wonderful young performers. Well, the fourth is Brenda Spencer, amongst others. So we've both been directing it, and Rudy, I'm going to make him cross because I'm going to say that I think what he has written and compiled is extraordinary. It's an hour, and it packs a mighty, mighty punch. I think this is important to say. We don't come out, or Rudy has not written a piece that says, we must have gun control. You know, it doesn't say that. What it does is raise questions. And an important element of this is that after our performances on Friday and Saturday nights, there are going to be what we're calling community forums, where, for instance, the mayor, Paige Cudnetti, has said that she will attend the performance on Friday and be part of a post-performance discussion. We've been in touch with an organization called Moms Demand Action. That is a gun control organization, mothers across the country. And there's a chapter here in Lackawanna County, and they plan to come. We've asked educators to come so that we can talk and have an open and dialogue with the cast members, with anyone who is there. But this piece is definitely not coming down on the side of all guns are bad, let's take them away. Nor do we offer a solution. We just put this particular 1 hour of experience out there and have the audience live through that with us.
Yeah, there's a collective of opinion with regard to the theoretic profile of a school shooter. And the consensus is, overall and overwhelmingly, there is no profile of a school shooter. That is categorically, definitively, the singular collective element of those kinds of people's opinion and expertise on the subject, which is chilling and terrifying, but that's the way it is.
Now, when you did the workshop and had that experience 2 years ago, what did you learn from that experience that you either added or changed or developed in the final full-fledged piece?
Well, I think that the piece was too long to begin with, so there was very careful editing that needed to happen. I think that it was very interesting to hear those kids' experiences, even though they're not directly and definitively reflected in the piece, because it was a choice not to have kids' lives put on display or inform this in that kind of way, given the subject matter. So those kids that we worked with had a very different experience overall in terms of guns in their lives than the kids that we're working with now. But the point is everybody's experience adds up to feeling threatened simply walking down the street, let alone going to school. And that's just such a sad and sorry indictment of how, and asking our young people to carry that kind of burden is unconscionable.
What does theater bring to the table then? Why is it important for theater to play a role in conversations like this?
Well, Nina Simone, she said that it is the artist's duty to reflect the times in which they live. And I take that very much to heart and think that is essential in terms of this piece, certainly, because they are dark, disturbing, terrifying times that we are living in. But I take that very seriously in terms of a need to do that, to potentially raise consciousness. because I think that whenever art can, and this is not meant to sound as la-di-da as it's going to sound to me when I speak these words, I think that art can, and indeed should, when it can, raise a level of consciousness. I don't think that is art's responsibility, but when the mantle of that responsibility can be assumed, I think that art should do that. So if nothing else, as Rosie just mentioned earlier, I think that what's important for us is the opportunity to have a really engaged conversation with these kids and with the community about this tremendous problem that all of us face ongoingly.
And Rosie, if you would please tell us where we can find you and when.
Of course. The performances are Friday the 15th, which happens to be the Ides of March, and Saturday the 16th of March. The performances are both at 7 p.m., and they are at The Space at Olive, which is at 541 Wyoming Avenue. Admission is free, or pay what you decide.
Yeah, it's free admission, but there's pay what you can decide. We're being wonderfully sponsored and supported, but money is always a part of things, and we made it an imperative going into this that these local performers were going to be paid for their endeavors this time.
So 541 Wyoming, 7 p.m., both performances, and reservations are not necessary. We decided that people could just show up and come in. It runs for an hour, as we've said. And here are our huge thanks to our benefactors and sponsors and granting agencies. So the first and the greatest thanks go to the Sondra G. and Maury M. Myers Charitable Fund. The fund gave us a grant. We also received a grant from Lackawanna County Arts and Culture, that department there, a community project grant, which was wonderful. Both of these are extraordinary gifts to us. We also received a grant from the Scranton Area Community Foundation, which is tremendous. And we've also been supported, as we have for many years, by Wegmans. So the community has really stepped up in terms of supporting this and making this possible. Because to offer it free, and, you know, as you know, Erica, there are always expenses in a production, means that we can do it. We can bring this to the community, and maybe one day we can go to schools, which I know Rudy said was his dream, and it was both of our dreams to be able to do that. And that might happen, but this is a wonderful start, thanks to our benefactors.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to say, because I would be terribly remiss in this, and I always talk about the talent involved. And I always say this, each endeavor seems to up the ante in terms of ability and what locals are able to bring to us in a consortium of energy and ideas. And these kids are so smart and on the ball and have so much to offer. And everybody in the community should turn out, even if they're finding the subject matter questionable or difficult. They should come to support these kids, because these kids are fantastic.
Rudy Caparazzo and Rosie Hay, co-artistic directors, co-founders of Rev Theater, speaking about a project that will have its first production in Scranton this weekend, Soda Pop Can, An American High School Story, this Friday and Saturday at The Space at Olive, 451 Wyoming Avenue, and it's at 7 o'clock each evening. It is free. There is a reception to follow and an important community forum after each of the performances. That's Soda Pop Can, An American High School Story, to be presented this Friday and Saturday at The Space at Olive, 451 Wyoming Avenue, in downtown Scranton, at 7 o'clock each evening. Admission is free. And the performances will be followed by a reception and a community forum. And Rev Theater is spelled, and these letters are all in capital form, R-E-V, Rev Theater.